Hey everyone, Michael here with the Bitcoin Way. Something many of you may not realize is that each day after we finish recording Bitcoin Banter, we'll sit around and chat offline for a bit. Sometimes we're just catching up or talking shop. Other times the conversations get, well, very interesting. After a recent banter we did with our friend Brandon Gentile, we had one such discussion, and by accident, we ended up recording it. Instead of scrapping it, we thought you'd have fun getting a behind-the-scenes, uncensored look at the kinds of things a bunch of toxic Bitcoin maxis discuss when they think the camera isn't rolling. Here it is, and I hope you enjoy.
My hope, and I'm sure a lot of our, it's like Bitcoin gets to a point where enough of us Bitcoiners are wealthy enough where you can start kind of pushing back on the system. And unfortunately, it looks like it's going a little slower than you hoped. So it's like, where does that, like, you know, they have, like you said, Tony, they have directed energy weapons. They have sound weapons. They can just melt you sitting there. Your militia, okay, great, you're gone. You know, the National Guard just takes you out. At what point, like, how many of these guys are bots? Are they actual humanoids? Like, are they men and women who, like, actually see the, you know, the veil come down and they start flipping to our side? Like, what's the end game, you know, a year from now, 5 years, 10, 20 years from now? That's this weird catechism we're in.
The thing is, there's also one detail that you're not thinking of. In moments of hyperinflation, the army also fails, because how are they going to get paid?
Yeah, that happened in Iran. They weren't getting paid, and some of the soldiers were signing with
people. And that also happened
in
Lebanon, correct?
Yeah.
So what kind of soldier is going to want to put his life on the line for $20 a month?
For no reason, yeah.
Right? So There's also that silver lining that a lot of people don't think of. They just like, oh, but the government has tanks and military and all that shit. Okay, great. But it has to feed these people. Yep. But then you can argue, but they can print. But, you know, it's irrelevant at that point because you're already hyperinflated. So what are you going to print? Printing the money becomes more of a burden than, you know, than just leaving it.
That's why I think they're going to flip to a stable coin. I think before the dollar hyperinflates, they're going to say, we have a new asset. This replaces the dollar. It'll be mandatory. Everybody gets it as soon as you open your bank account, totally coordinated in the US. And we're going to flip from the cash dollar system to the digital stablecoin system, like that. And I think that's what the Clarity Act, I think the whole thing is fake. I think, like Brian saying, I don't like the Clarity Act, was just a way for them to create a narrative. Brian, Coinbase, the banks, they already agreed, in my opinion. Instead of a crypto paying you 5% or 7% when the bank only pays you a half, they both agreed earlier to say, hey, we're just going to give people 3% instead of going to 5. That way, the banks are happy because now they can issue stable coins. Crypto's happy because they get to still offer a yield, but it's not as much. So the consumer doesn't benefit like they do today. So you tampen down the yield for consumers. The big guys, crypto and banks, align. And now you have the whole stablecoin crypto that becomes mandatory for everybody else.
Yeah, but that's just kicking the can down the line. It's not fixing anything. In fact, it's making things worse because you're probably going to be obliged to use a digital ID with all this bullshit.
That's right. Yeah. But I think that's how they do it. I think they know the collapse is coming. The dollar is not going to last any longer. And they're going to just use, you know, you'll either use Tether or you'll use Bank of America stablecoin. Essentially, it'll all be the same. But they're going to flip the system. And maybe it'll take a month to get everyone onboarded. But you'll wake up and your Chase bank account is now denominated in stable coins.
And how long do you think it'll take before enough people reject this?
I think it'll be good at first. People will like it. And then I think the restrictions and the vice tightens over time. Yeah. And then you have Gavin Newsom as president. Yeah. And he says, we're not going to allow the purchase of Bitcoin with any government-backed stable coin. And now you have the dividing line. You're either in Bitcoin or you're not. And you can't get into Bitcoin at that point.
You know, except through earning it potentially, like on the side, like outside the system. Yeah.
Yeah. Selling your own goods and you can only accept Bitcoin.
The thing is, in a scenario like this, not being able to buy Bitcoin would be the least of my worries, because in order to really enforce their stupidity, they're going to restrict you from buying anything. They're going to restrict you from maybe buying gas or buying a plane ticket to leave or buying certain, you know, types of food. That way you are really desperate and willing to do anything to comply in order to, you know, get these things.
Well, this is what
I suspect is more likely to happen if you give power to psychopaths like that.
Hey guys, I gotta run. I've got a plumber at my house, but you guys can get that.
No, that's Zio Michael. That's where Greer said though. I think that happens first. The Bitcoin thing with what Greer said happens first, and maybe they try to do it silently to cut off the exit ramps. Then Tony, it goes to what you're saying. It goes to like, oh hey, we're restricting 15 minute city, like that kind of shit. But then yeah. It's like people turn around like, okay, well I'm escaping. Like, oh, it's too late. They already cut off the Bitcoin. So I think both you are right. It's just the timeline that it happens in, I think, is the interesting part.
So what do you guys think that looks like? Like if that were to happen, like how many people would simply be, oh, okay, that's how it is now?
97%, 98%.
Shit to happen. We need big, dumb things to happen. I mean, really, like I hate saying that. I don't want it. Like I hate saying that, but like we have to. You need Max Payne. You have to have big, stupid. Look at Justin Trudeau. He probably orange pilled more people in one event than almost anyone on earth.
Yeah.
You need like both your points. Like you need the freezing of accounts. You need these stupid things. Trump getting kicked off of Twitter. Look what happened after that. You know, Noster comes about, you know, Elon buys Twitter, you know, for whatever that's worth. But like things start happening, you know, the parlors of the world, all these other things happen because dumb things happen and people don't wake up otherwise. It's unreal. Yeah. I don't get it.
For me, the silver lining to bad news is that it pushes intelligent people to continuously, you know, build better tools to give these assholes a bigger middle finger each time, right? And so this is how Noster was born. This is how Bitcoin was born. And this is how like many things going forward will be born because, you know, the worse things gets, people need their exits, right? And so these exits need to continuously be refined and, you know, made more bulletproof so that that's it, man. Like they exist, they cannot be stopped, they cannot be taken away. And it just puts an end to the abuse.
And to your point, I mean, again, everything we've been talking about, it's, and to your question, Tony, like that's why it's preparing, you know, firearms, food storage, you know, getting some water, like all these things, because you got to prepare for bad shit happening and then be ready on the backside to like, okay, we're building with Bitcoin. We're doing these things in that chaos and story of life, right? That's what the Clarity Act.
I think people that are in a position to leave are, you know, better off just leaving and, you know, and saving themselves such monumental, you know, problems and headaches down the line. But I don't know if how many people are, you know, have that luxury to just pack up and leave. I suspect not that many, right?
Not many.
So that's gonna be a lot of people fighting it out here. That's for sure. You know, even the Clarity Act, I think the Clarity Act going down or like this, you know, what happened in the last week or two, that was a good like line in the sand too, you know, because that really, I think was the first real time where like, you know, some of these big guys took put their foot down, was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so this is, there's an impasse. Like, how do you get around this? You know, kind of going back to what you're saying, Greer, with the stablecoin stuff, this is very interesting. Because we might be at an impasse where how do you get around it? The banks don't want it. They clearly are threatened by Bitcoin, right? This is the thing that no one wants to talk about, right? Larry Fink's head of WF, but he's also the biggest Bitcoin ETF guy. Yeah, right. I mean, the guy's a joke. So it's like this is now starting to be exposed, and this is the line in the sand. They passed the Genius Act really quick, and now the Clarity Act stuff is now like getting held up, and I don't think it's going to work. And now you have an impasse. So now this fissure starts, to your guys' points, of people are going to have to start choosing. Because now altcoins are going to get hurt more and more over time because banks aren't going to want this shit going on. They might come up with some little, you know, whatever, but like we have this world now where there's true fissure and you can't get around it because they don't want you leaving because, oh, we're sharing the spread, the 3%, where the bank wants all 5%. They don't want to share the spread, you know, with the people and deposits. So now you have this world that's really aligned in the sand and now people are going to start choosing. And this is where the education, everything we're all doing now becomes very, very important as people start looking for answers of, hey, why the hell can't I get 2%, 3%, 5% with stable coins when this was the case? You know, so now here we go. I think the game started like a week or two ago.
So do you guys think that 2026 will be the year to remember? Like, is this the turning point?
Absolutely. I mean, silver is almost $100. Gold is, you know, almost at 5,000. I think that we're going to see the dollar crash. But unlike what you were saying, Brandon, I think it was all manufactured. Mm-hmm. I think that the banks and the crypto have already agreed behind the scenes. And we're just seeing political theater where we think they're going like this.
Yeah.
That way we feel better about the outcome, because David Sachs in Davos said the banks are going to have to compromise. He said that. He's like, the banks are going to have to compromise. So I don't think the banks want the stable coins, but they have to. They're forced to compete. And I think the only way that crypto survives is if it can be legitimized by the banks. So they both need each other. And that's why I think it was already agreed to months ago. Mm-hmm. And now we're just watching the theater play out. And when the dollar does hyperinflate, that's when they already have the answer ready. Totally organized, totally orchestrated. You've got Bitcoin, and then you've got government stable coins.
So then my theory about this two-tiered world is very possible based on what you just described. Because everything you just talk about now is relevant to people stuck in that system. But if you're on a Bitcoin standard, living in circular economies, which will continuously flourish, then all of this is like it's almost like it's in another country, right? Like it doesn't affect you. It's not part of your daily existence anymore, because you're no longer, you know, a subject to that system. That's going to be crazy. Like, I mean, this is a theory that I have in my head, but I mean, the more we discuss these things and the more I see things unfold, like, I'm worried I'm going to be right. You know, like, and if I am, like, what the hell, man? Like, I mean, this is messed up, because a certain percentage of people are going to be okay, and that may include you. But you also know a lot of people that you care about that are going to not be okay.
Yep.
But you're not in a position to help them as easily as you would be like now. So what do you do?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Right. I think the best outcome for us would be if Bitcoin goes to 5 million, 10 million. To me, that's going to draw in the people who can still catch the upside.
Well,
over time. And if I think most people are only going to be able to get Bitcoin in a permission product, like an ETF or holding it at a bank.
Yeah. So nothing really changes for them. They just have, you know, fake sugar.
Yeah. They have custody Bitcoin. But if you have it in self-custody, then you can operate between both systems with more independence.
I don't know
if there are really any good outcomes. I don't know if there are any good
outcomes. Black swans. What if, like, I believe that some of these nation states, again, kind of like you guys have kind of danced around some of this to a degree. And so this makes me think of Chase Bank, some of the nation states. Some of these people are going to collapse because they're going to play stupid games with Bitcoin, whether they're in these permission products or not. They're going to do dumb things because we know that's inevitable, and they will blow themselves up. And I think that might, some of these black swan events, like literally out of left field, where all of a sudden you're FTXing. And then all of a sudden, Bitcoin, as we know, it's an auditing system. And it's going to catch up to you, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be out of left field.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, man, I can't prove it. But, you know, sometimes when you have a very strong sixth sense, I really have a feeling we're going to wake up one day and Bitcoin is just going to be, like, up there for no reason.
Yeah.
It's just going to be there. And a lot of the folks that are not like, or that are banking on everything except for Bitcoin, they're going to have their faces melted. And the ones that worry me the most are the ones holding on to precious metals, because historically that's always been the safe haven, right?
Right.
But we don't live in that, you know, primitive time anymore. Like, first of all, most folks don't hold the physical metals, like the gold or the silver. They don't have them at home. Those that do have them in small trinket amounts, like, you know, maybe a chain, a metal, you know, a few coins and stuff like that, fine. How are you going to use it? Like, are you going to take a bar to a supermarket and literally tell the guy, I'll swap you this for like 17 tomatoes? Like, how are you, like, practically, how are you going to do it? You can't.
Yeah.
And if you have a lot of precious metals, how are you going to protect them?
Right.
You know, like, I was telling you this earlier today, Greer, like, this brings back, you know, PTSD from the stories that my parents used to tell me when I was a kid during the early days of the civil war in Lebanon. People used to smuggle their own gold, right? Do you know how they used to hide gold?
Up there, up the sphincter.
Not in dirty diapers, in themselves, you know, anywhere imaginable so that they don't get stolen. I was told stories of folks that were living in the worst, most notorious neighborhoods, hiding barrels of gold underground in their living rooms because it was, you know, supposedly the last place anyone would look, because this was like the worst place to be. This is where they hid the gold. And so can you imagine, all hell breaks loose? The first target is going to be high net worth neighborhoods, right? Whether they have it or not, it doesn't matter. The perception that people may have valuables there is what's going to trigger the focus to go after them. And so if you are actually hoarding physical precious metals, how do you protect yourself against that? And if you wanted to leave with your precious metals, what bloody plane are you going to get on with all that stuff?
Yeah, you can't. No, you're right. No, you're 100% correct. I think we're seeing FOMO. That's why these metals are going up.
Oh, man, it's crazy. FOMOing it's into like it. It's like brain dead, instinctive autopilot reaction. Like no one's thinking this through. Right. It's like, and it's going to become like your worst enemy, like your biggest handicap is the very thing that you thought was going to keep you safe.
So going back to this, because you guys nailed it, right? Like the beauty of gold and silver is the physical, the utility, what it can actually do. But we know that's kept it back for 5,000 years, right? Like that's why it can't be global money.
But it failed as money.
Well, right. But it can't be because of the beauty, the physicalness, it can't be money, right? So like you can't have global commerce. And so this goes back to Greer, what you're saying about the Clarity Act being theater. What if, again, going back to the Trump thing at that global level of that being theater, this is like the multipolar order that, you know, where it's like the East, they have a ton of gold and silver and they want to revalue the system on that. And then Trump over here, who knows if we have gold or not or whatever it was, but they're like, no, we're rebuilding in this stable coin. We're rebuilding on this. So some of these like backroom deals that could be like, oh, we're going to have World War III. Who knows? A year ago, these three, Russia, China, and America could have made a deal and said, yeah, we're going to like, you know, we got to create some theater. We're going to F some stuff up. But like, this is what's going on. We know this is going separate ways. So like, it all could be theater. You could have theater at a global, and you could have actually here domestically too. Like it could all be theater. And probably is.
Yeah, all of it. And you're right. Yeah. They got to sell. So what they want is for everyone to go into gold and silver.
To revalue things. Yeah.
And then it gets demonetized.
Yes. Because you're doing it against the dollar. The dollar, exactly.
That's like the biggest rug pull ever. That's when it's going to take place.
And they've been buying Bitcoin on the side, confiscating it, you know, and boom, here's the new monetary standard.
And Sailor's got 700,000.
And right? That's like, a U.S. company. And the U.S. could be like, hey, it's our national interest. Strategy is the new bank, not just for America, but for 100%. The world.
Look at Brian Armstrong. Look, he has said, right? We don't agree with much of what he says, but he's honest when he says some of the things, like look what he said this week in Davos, but also fighting the central bank guy. But also he said, hey, if your shit's here with me, I'm going to give it to the government. If they come knocking, I'm a U.S. company. I will give them the Bitcoin. Get your stuff off exchanges. And he admitted that 5 years ago, which God love him. Thank you for doing that. But like he admitted it. But look at the ETFs. They're all the shit is at Coinbase. All the other stuff is at Coinbase. So it's like put it all together. What do we see? You know, it's just it's wild, 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 wild.
Man, they're always going to protect their own. Right. This is why the justice system for me is complete bullshit. I discovered this in Lebanon, and I'm seeing the same thing in the U.S. and in every other country in the world. There's a two-tier justice system, which is why it's complete rubbish, you know, in its entirety. Yeah. I don't know how this ends, man. Like, it's I just don't see any peaceful way that this goes down, you know, when things get bad enough. This and that's the part that really worries me. Is because regular folks are always the ones that pay the price, right? It's like innocent people, like in anywhere. And I don't know. I just don't want to see that happen, man. I've seen too much of it already. I already don't sleep because of fucking PTSD. Like, I don't need more on my plate, you know, going forward. But I can only do, you know, so much.
I know. That's why I feel like that's our generation of Bitcoiners, like this last Epoch or two, is that people, like, we see the problems. We weren't the cypherpunk necessarily, like we weren't in the first 5 years, but it's like you're in that next 10 years and you're like, I just want to help the people around me. Like, you see the problems, you've been studying this shit, you've seen it, Tony's lived it, and you're like, I just need to help people around me. And then like no one seemingly wants the help, and you're like going insane. At least that's how I feel.
That's me, dude. Yeah. My life.
Yeah. Like, I don't care if we get wealthy. Like, we may or may not, whatever. But, like, you're just trying to, like, help everyone you can into the off the Titanic, into the life rafts. And, like, no one wants to get in the lifeboat.
Just get some. Just get some. Yeah. You know?
I worry about the folks that have young kids. Like, how do you deal with them? How do you protect them? How do you educate them? How do you make them as aware as you are? Yeah. And make sure they don't screw up somewhere along the line or inadvertently get mangled up somewhere where they're not supposed to be, right? Like, I mean, all of these uncontrollable variables, you know, like, as a responsible human being, especially as a responsible parent, like, they weigh on you, right? Like, it's not like you can just, oh, well, they'll figure it out. No, I need to be sure they're going to be okay. It's not like, oh, well, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got four kids, so something I think about a lot.
Yeah.
All
right, dudes. Unbelievable. Well, this was.
We sure recorded a second session here. That was. This is. Though it's always better this offline. Was, this was. Got to start doing it. Yeah.
Unexpected. The off script banter. Man. May have been better than the original one.
I know. The offline always is. That's you can't help it. You know. The problem is you couldn't say this stuff. I mean, half the stuff you get taken down, so it wouldn't even matter, and that's part of the problem.
What do you mean? Like what we discussed here would be taken down?
I don't know if this would, but like generally, you know, like you offline, you're talking, everyone's just free flowing, and then like half that stuff would get taken down. So you can't even say it.
Yeah.
You know. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you can't say the word militia. That's for sure.
No, I think we were okay today, but man. It's all good. Anyhow, guys, it was a pleasure talking to you. Let's do this again. Fun. This banter thing is really. It's a lot of fun, and so I think good. You know we can. I think a lot of people will appreciate the give and take.
Absolutely,
this will be the way. All right, guys. Dudes, I'll catch you on the next one.
See you, boys.
Cheers.